it should come as no surprise to you this morning that I am once again going to invite you to suspend your disbelief and imagine that you are hearing the words of Lazarus' sister, Martha. The house was full of people, but it felt like it was empty of air. That's what grief does. It sucks the air out of a room and the breath out of your body. Instead, there is this heavy, suffocating silence that even the wailing of the professional mourners cannot break. I sagged on the floor. My legs felt detached, but I didn't care. The pain in my chest was absolute and consuming, but my limbs were numb. Physical sensation seemed like a distant memory. They told me he was coming. "The teacher is here," they whispered. They looked at me with pity, waiting for me to run, to hope, to act. I didn't move. Why should I? He was late. 4 days too late. We sent word the moment Lazarus worsened, and up until 4 days ago, I still had hope. I sat with Lazarus, watching him decline. First, he struggled to sit up. Then he struggled to respond. Eventually, he was pretty much just sleeping and sweating. 4 days ago, I watched my beloved brother gasp for air. I watched his skin turn the color of ash, his eyes pleading for a relief I couldn't give. I held his hand when it went limp, kept holding it after it was cold. I washed his body. I packed the spices around his limbs. My hands still smell of myrrh, and nothing can scrub that smell off. I wrapped him. I watched them roll the stone to close the cave. If only Jesus had been here, the cave would still be open. My hands wouldn't stink of rot and myrrh. My brother would still be alive. When I finally stood up, it wasn't from hope. I was filled with rage. I walked out to where he was waiting on the road. I didn't run. I didn't fall at his feet in worship. No, I collapsed at his feet because the weight of my disappointment and anger and grief and rage were heavier than my legs could hold. I looked up at him, the man who claimed to love us. "Lord," I spat through clenched teeth, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." No greeting. It was an accusation. He recoiled. He looked at the wreckage of my face. He saw the mourners wailing behind me, and the composure of the rabbi cracked. He didn't offer a sermon. He didn't quote scripture. He broke. He wept. Not a polite tear, he shook with it. He bent double and groaned, a deep guttural sound of fury and sorrow. His knees buckled, and he knelt in the dust next to me. "Where have you laid him?" he asked between shuddering breaths. We took him to the tomb, a cave cut into the craggy hillside. "Take away the stone," he said. There was an audible gasp from the crowd. "You don't do that. You don't open a grave after 4 days." The heat had been terrible this week. The reality of biology does not care about your hope. He stared. They moved the stone. "Lord," I gagged, "there is a stench." He looked at me, his face wet and his voice steadier than his hands. "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" He turned back to the opening of the cave. He shouted. It was a terrifying sound, a command that echoed against the rock. It was a challenge against the silence of the cave and the iron grip of death itself. "Lazarus, come out!" The silence stretched. My heart was hammering against my ribs. No one dared say anything. And then a movement, a shuffling sound in the dark, a shadow detaching itself from the gloom. He appeared in the doorway, bound hand and foot in the grave bands. His face was covered with the cloth. My dead brother stood there, swaying in the sun. "Unbind him," Jesus said. "Let him go." Someone moved to help him. They cut the cloth and peeled back the linen. Lazarus, living, breathing, blinking against the sun. He looked at his hands. He looked at me, then at Jesus. Awareness started to dawn on his face. The people cheered. They shouted. They fell to their knees. I stood still. I looked at my brother, breathing and whole. I looked at Jesus, wiping tears from his face. I knew I should be happy. I knew that this was a miracle. But as I walked toward him, I realized that the fear hadn't left. The grief hadn't simply evaporated. I had seen him dead. I watched him take his last breath. You could never wipe that from your memory. He was back, yes. But the world was different now. The safety was gone. I knew now that death was waiting, that Jesus could delay, but that tomb is always closed. I hugged my brother. His skin was warm, and he hugged me back. He felt strong. He smelled of spices and sweat. I held him tightly, not just to welcome him back, but to make sure he was real. Jesus had given us life, but he couldn't give me my innocence back. We walked home in the sun. Lazarus' arm lay gently on my shoulder. The neighbors celebrated. But I glanced back at that empty tomb and its mouth gaping wide open. A miracle had happened, but the scar remained, and I didn't know what to do with it. Thanks be to God. Amen.